this morning. To those listening with us, we want to welcome you and want to let you know that we are honored that you have chosen to come and be a part of our service this morning. It is my hope and prayer that the things said will be the truth of God. I would encourage you, consider what I say and compare it against the standard of God's Word. Please understand that you have a responsibility to know the truth. And you're going to be held accountable for the faith that you have and the way that you live your life. I appreciate the prayer this morning led by Phil as we began our service. He mentioned the saints who come together, and he thanked God for the saints of this congregation. And he prayed that we would be blessed, that we would be benefited by our time here this morning. What Phil was talking about is the idea of Christian fellowship. We are saints together. We are brothers and sisters in Christ. We have a Christian fellowship together. Now, the idea of fellowship is important, and I think most would agree with this. Fellowship is not a concept limited only to the church or to religion or to spiritual matters. The idea of fellowship can be seen in many different aspects of life. But certainly within religion, we see a focus on fellowship. We have Fellowship Bible Church. We have St. Paul's Believers Fellowship. We have Open Door Family Fellowship. We have Fellowship Community Church. And these are all independent community kind of congregations. And again, by their very name, they want fellowship. Usually, what is meant by this idea is that they want to extend a very broad net for people to be able to come in and to be a part of that particular congregation, that particular church. And quite often, what they say is that beyond maybe two or three or four different faiths or doctrinal ideas and beliefs, then it really doesn't make any difference what you believe. You can be a part of this congregation. And then we have the National Council of Churches of Christ in the USA. Churches of Christ here is not as we would use or the Bible uses the term. Again, it is a broad umbrella that takes in groups, denominations, churches of various beliefs, with the idea of having some kind of a fellowship. And then we have the Word of Faith Ministerial Alliance. Most towns have ministerial alliances of some kind. San Antonio does. In fact, there are different ministerial alliances based on where you live in the city. And all that means is that ministers, preachers from various denominations get together and they sometimes just simply meet socially, but other times they get together and they actually plan events and they have congregational fellowship and support of each other. And then I know that you've heard about the fellowship hall, where Christians will come together and they will eat a meal in a place. It may be a place provided by the congregation. But the idea of fellowship. And so it is an important concept. It is a great concept. It is one that the Bible talks about time and again. What is fellowship? What is Christian fellowship? Well, the word fellowship is defined by Webster's New World College Dictionary, 4th edition, as number one, companionship, friendly association. Number two, a mutual sharing as of experience, activity, interest, etc. Number three, a group of people with the same interests, company, brotherhood. And so that is a very broad, general definition of fellowship. And what we're talking about are people who come together for some reason, in some way, because they have a joint interest. There's something that brings them together. It may be a citizenship in a state or a country. It may be something to do with work or business. It may be a hobby. It may be some kind of a civic organization that we want to be members of. Something brings people together. They work together. They strive together. They sacrifice together. What is Bible fellowship? The idea of fellowship is contained in a few different Greek words. And most of you know, I am not a Greek scholar. In fact, I have enough trouble with English. English quite often looks like Greek to me. But I do want to spend just a few moments talking about some of these words. And the first word means to come into communion or fellowship with, to become a sharer, be made a partner, to enter into fellowship, join oneself to an associate, make oneself a sharer or partner. It is a verb. The second word, a noun, feminine, a fellowship, association, community, communion, joint participation, intercourse, the share which one has in anything, participation. Intercourse, fellowship, intimacy. The right hand is a sign and pledge of fellowship in fulfilling the apostolic office. A gift jointly contributed, a collection, a contribution, as exhibiting an embodiment and proof of fellowship. And then the third word, a partner, associate, comrade, companion. A partner, share in anything. This is a noun, masculine. And so by these three Greek words that are very similar in nature, they come from the same root, same base, it's clear that what we're talking about again is the idea of people who come together. They share. They have a communion. There is a closeness involved. Another Greek word means a sharing, communion, fellowship, theirs, says. Participation in, Strong says. To become a partaker together with others or to have fellowship with a thing. To share in company with, that is, cooperate in. Soon, which is a primary preposition denoting union. And the point I want to make is that the fellowship that we're talking about is one where there is a union, where there is a bond that exists. There is a closeness. And again, we understand this probably best with regard to the family, the biological or the physical family, the earthly family. We understand the tie there, the fellowship that exists, and what that means in life. We recognize the union and the fact that we are there for each other. What does the Bible say about fellowship? Is it a legitimate idea that we just open the umbrella and that we fellowship any and all people who say that they believe in God or who say that they believe in Jesus Christ? Or who say that they believe in the Bible? What kind of a union must exist for there to be a fellowship? And so we want to ask the simple question, with whom or what do saints fellowship? And we find in the book of 1 John, chapter 1, verse 3, the passage read a few moments ago, that we have fellowship with God the Father and God the Son. That which we have seen and heard, we proclaim also to you, so that you may have fellowship with us. And indeed our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. And so the fellowship we enjoy in this relationship among members of the family of God, among saints, among Christians, is the result of first having a fellowship with God the Father and God the Son. let me say that you can be in the audience today. You can even be a part of this congregation, in that we recognize you as a part of this congregation based on our knowledge, based on our information. But that there be no spiritual fellowship if you or if I have become apostate. In other words, you might be a part of this church, and if you're not living right, even though we accept you because we do not know better, the spiritual fellowship is gone because it begins and ends with God the Father, God the Son, and of course, God the Holy Spirit. In the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 13, in verse 14, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. And so there has to be that fellowship between the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. If we are not in a relationship with them, one that is accepted, one that is in God's good grace, then we cannot be spiritually tied together. We might do things together. We might have association together. But there is no spiritual tie. We also have fellowship with the apostles. Going back to 1 John chapter 1, John said, "That which we have seen and heard, we proclaim also to you, so that you may have fellowship with us." John was teaching them. In this case, an epistle had been written. And he's saying, what we witnessed in the life of Jesus Christ, what we have witnessed in our teaching and our preaching, these are the things that we are proclaiming to you, that you might have a fellowship with us. And the reason for that is because they would have a basis for that spiritual fellowship. In Acts 2, verse 42. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and fellowship, to breaking of bread and the prayers. This is immediately following the first conversion that we read about in the New Testament. Some 3,000 souls that obey the gospel. In the very next verse, after we read about these 3,000 souls being baptized, we read how they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship. You see the connection there between doctrine and fellowship? They needed to be taught. They needed to understand more. They were babes in Christ. And so the apostles were with them. And the apostles were teaching them. And in that, they were having a fellowship together because of the things being taught. They were no longer Jews religiously. They had given that up. They no longer had a fellowship with Judaism in that sense. Now their fellowship was with God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit in the teaching of the apostles. They had a fellowship with them as well. And so we understand that there is a fellowship of the gospel in Philippians chapter 1 in verse 3. I thank my God in all my remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you, all making my prayer with joy. Because of your partnership, there's that word fellowship. Because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. They had a sharing together concerning the things of God's Word. Then we also read in the book of 1 John chapter 1, verse 6 and 7, that our fellowship is in fact with each other if we first have a fellowship with God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, and if our fellowship remains within the confines of divine teaching. If we walk in the light as He is in the light. Verse 6. If we say that we have fellowship with him while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. You see, you cannot live in sin. You cannot walk in darkness. And understand again, darkness here is anything that is outside of God's revelation. Anything that is outside of what John was trying to teach them so that they could be in fellowship with him and with the Father and the Son. And so he says, if you're walking in darkness, now he's talking to Christians. He's talking to people who had been baptized into Christ, who were members somewhere. This is a general epistle, not written to any specific local congregation. But he's saying, if you walk in darkness and you claim to have a fellowship with God, then you lie, and you're not practicing the truth of God. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. You see how this follows from what was said a little bit earlier in the chapter, the passage we read, about how our fellowship is with the Father and the Son? But we must walk in the light. In other words, we must be doing the things God wants us to do, living the lives he wants us to live. It's possible to be accepted by a local congregation who believe that you or I, that we are doing just that. And in fact, not be. We also have a fellowship with the divine nature if we do all of this. In 2 Peter chapter 1 in verse 3, Peter said, his divine power has granted to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us to his own glory and excellence. Now, listen to this. Everything that we need, God has given to us. Everything that pertains to life, to godliness. And you notice it comes through a knowledge of him. In verse 4, by which he has granted to us his precious and very great promises, so that through them you may become partakers. There's that word again, that same Greek word, fellowship. Partakers of the divine nature, having escaped from the corruption that is in the world because of sinful desire. And so a child of God is someone who has escaped the sins of this world. Not that he's perfect or sinless, but as long as he walks in the light, as long as he follows God's will, which includes asking for forgiveness when we sin, and turning away from our sins, then we have a fellowship with him. Then we have that divine nature. We are partakers. We are sharers with God and with each other. Not only that, but we have fellowship with the blood and the body of Christ. In the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 16, the cup of blessing which we bless, is it not a participation in the blood of Christ? That's that word again, participation, fellowship. The bread that we break, is it not a participation or fellowship in the body of Christ? Because there is one bread, we who are many are one body, for we all partake of the one bread. You see, we have this fellowship together. Think about this for a moment. As we partook of the Lord's Supper this morning, we were having fellowship with each other, as well as with Jesus Christ, as well as his blood and his body. And not only that, but we were having fellowship, or we were participating with brethren in other places. And brethren who attend other congregations in the city of San Antonio, or in the state of Texas, or in this country, or anywhere in the world. There is that joint participation. if you will, in the blood and the body of Christ. It is the memorial that we partake, that we remember what Jesus Christ did for us. In that we are participating. And also in his sufferings. In the book of 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 13. But rejoice insofar as you share Christ's sufferings. There's that word share. Fellowship. That you share Christ's sufferings. That you may also rejoice and be glad when his glory is revealed. If we are not sharing or having fellowship in the sufferings of Jesus Christ, then we are not a part of his family. We are not saints. We are not Christians. We are not walking in the light as he is in the light. There is a suffering that takes place to serve Jesus Christ. It may not be the same level, degree, or kind of suffering that we read about in the early New Testament church, where people were being put to death, where they were being imprisoned, where they were being beaten and whipped. But there are places in the world today where these very things do take place. And we are blessed in this country. Sometimes our freedoms are challenged in this country. Sometimes we see them being eroded by ideas. But we are blessed. But I can tell you this. If we are not sharing in our Lord's sufferings, then we're not in fellowship. In the book of Hebrews chapter 13, verse 16. Do not neglect to do good and to share. There's that word again, fellowship. What you have, for such sacrifices are pleasing to God. Some translations actually render it this way. And of doing good and of fellowship, be not forgetful, for with such sacrifices God is well pleased. That is the 1898 Young's literal translation. And there are others. And so, as we do good, as we share, we are having fellowship with our brothers and sisters in Christ. In the context, that is the very point that he's making. In the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 9, in verse 13, by their approval of the service, they will glorify God because of your submission that comes from your confession of the gospel of Christ and the generosity of your contribution. That word contribution there is fellowship. The same Greek word. The generosity of your contribution for them and for all others. You see, here he's talking about the expression of their fellowship. Why were they so willing to make the kind of sacrifices that they were making? Why did they plead with Paul to take this contribution, this fellowship? Paul says it's because of your love. It is a proof of your love for brethren. It is a proof of your fellowship together. And so Christians are willing to sacrifice for each other in their fellowship. When you read about this idea of fellowship, this idea of sharing, of joint participating, when you read about this in the Bible, in the New Testament, there's always a spiritual connection. There's always a spiritual tie, something that brings it together. It is more than just the physical. Certainly there are many things that we read about in God's Word that have to do with our physical, social relationship with each other. We are to be hospitable. That's true. But being hospitable is not fellowship. It is an expression of fellowship that we have toward each other because of our love for one another. The idea of fellowship hall is not even accurate with regard to word usage. But the idea of us being benevolent toward each other, the idea of us being gracious and hospitable toward each other, all of that is an expression of the love that we have for one another. But understand, it all comes back, it's all centered on God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, based on the teaching of the apostles and based on the gospel that we have. Our fellowship begins there. And anything that extends out from there is because of that first fellowship that we have. It's because of that foundation of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. It's the foundation that the apostles left us in the truth. We ought to want to be members of a local congregation somewhere. We ought to want to be a part of that kind of fellowship. All of that is very true. But understand that having your name on a roll someplace doesn't mean that you are in the right relationship with God, the Father, Son, or the Holy Spirit. It doesn't mean that you're doing the right things. The association that we have together in this local church is a wonderful blessing that God set up, God provided for us when He established the local church. But we also find time and again throughout the New Testament that there were some, evidently still accepted by a local church, that were clearly not in fellowship with God, the Father, Son, or Holy Spirit, and were not in fellowship with the apostles. Anyone remember the fellow's name in 3 John? Diotrephes, who loved what? To have the preeminence. And what did Diotrephes do? He was actually casting people out of the church if they upheld truth. That's what he was doing. If you upheld truth, if you remained faithful to God, he was casting you out of the church. And so our fellowship together as brothers and sisters in Christ in this local congregation is certainly an important aspect of our relationship of our lives to Jesus Christ. But please understand that fellowship is based on certain principles, based on certain truths that we find in God's Word. Now, there are some people and some things we cannot have fellowship with. Tonight, we're going to look at a few of those things. Sometimes we allow ourselves to be in fellowship with people or with activities that a Christian cannot. In fact, if you allow yourself to be in fellowship with those things that are clearly prohibited by God, then you're not in fellowship with Him because you're walking in darkness. That's the very point there that John makes. You're walking in darkness. If you say you have fellowship and you walk in darkness, you lie and do not the truth. Do you have a fellowship with God? Do you have that union, that bond? If you're not a Christian, if you've not been baptized into Christ for the remission of your sins, you may be religious, you may be honest and sincere, and we would not question that. But let me say that if you've not responded to the gospel as taught by Peter on the day of Pentecost, as was taught by others throughout the book of Acts, then you do not have a fellowship with God. You may be religious. You may be accepted by a group. And that group think that they are in fellowship with God. But again, the only way to be in fellowship with God is to do so according to truth. We would encourage you this morning to come forward, confess your faith in Christ, and be baptized. If you are a child of God and you've sinned against Him, then again, you may think that just because you've been baptized, you have an ongoing fellowship. Not necessarily true. Again, John was writing to Christians when he made that statement in verse 6. And so if you're living outside of Christ, if you're doing things that you shouldn't do, and you sever that fellowship with Jesus, with His blood, with His body. Do something about it this morning. Come forward, confess your sin, ask God to forgive you. If you need the help of the prayers of this congregation, respond as together we stand and sing.